The Justice Department files a blockbuster antitrust lawsuit against Google, saying it's using anti-competitive tactics to preserve a monopoly in search.
We have these handful of big tech companies that have lots of power and are so involved in so many aspects of our lives. And so what you see today is the government finally sort of taking a shot here.
We'll have more details from the action and what it could mean for big tech. And Goldman Sachs reaches a multi-billion dollar settlement in the 1MDB scandal. Plus, if you live in California, the price of an Uber ride is on the ballot. It's Tuesday, October 20th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. U.S. stocks rose today on hopes of an agreement on another round of stimulus. The Dow closed up 113 points, or 0.4%. The S&P 500 rose 0.5%, and the Nasdaq gained 0.3%. Speaking on CNBC this afternoon, White House Chief of Staff Mark Meadows said House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin had made enough progress in talks to continue negotiations, extending a self-imposed deadline until the weekend. Goldman Sachs has agreed to pay nearly $3 billion to settle charges related to its work with the Malaysian government fund 1MDB. We report that a Goldman subsidiary in Asia is expected to plead guilty this week, while the bank's parent company will accept a deferred prosecution agreement. That means it won't face prosecution under the deal. Our financial reporter Liz Hoffman says the settlement caps one of the biggest scandals in Goldman's over 150-year history.
The bank settled with the government of Malaysia back in July for about $2.5 billion in cash. There have been parallel investigations with authorities in Singapore, in London. It's not entirely clear whether this will wrap up all of those, but the big fish out there, the big check they were going to have to write was to the U.S. Department of Justice, and this will take care of that. But again, these things are never, almost never about the money. They're about the sort of reputational thing. And Goldman has been running away from the sort of Goldman of old, of the 2008 mortgage crisis, of these, this sort of reputation as kind of a ruthless money machine that would do anything for a fee. It's really been trying to run away from that for the last couple of years. And I should say the conduct here is from 2012 and 13, so it's quite old. But, you know, this has dogged the bank for years and is just a reminder that those reputations are pretty hard to outrun.
Altogether, the 1MDB scandal will cost Goldman more than $5 billion, or about two-thirds of a year's profits. In its quarterly earnings today, Procter & Gamble reported its biggest global sales increase in 15 years. Spending on household cleaning and personal hygiene items during the pandemic has helped propel the rise as consumers stocked up on essentials. Lysol's parent company, Reckitt, also reported its sharpest quarterly sales growth on record, largely driven by its hygiene unit. And Netflix says subscriber growth slowed in the third quarter as competitors have ramped up their streaming services in the pandemic. Netflix reported today that it added just 2.2 million subscribers compared to the first two quarters when more than 25 million new subscribers signed up. Netflix shares fell 5.4% in after-hours trading. Coming up after the break, why the Justice Department is going after Google. The Justice Department dropped a long-anticipated antitrust lawsuit against Google today. Here's Deputy U.S. Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen announcing the suit earlier today.
Google is the gateway to the Internet and a search advertising behemoth. Google achieved some success in its early years, and no one begrudges that. But as the antitrust complaint filed today explains, it has maintained its monopoly power through exclusionary practices that are harmful to competition. So the Justice Department has determined that an antitrust response is necessary to benefit consumers. If the government does not enforce the antitrust laws to enable competition, we could lose the next wave of innovation. If that happens, Americans may never get to see the next Google.
Just a disclaimer, News Corp, which owns the Wall Street Journal, has complained to antitrust authorities at home and abroad about Google's search practices and its dominance in digital advertising. Joining me now with more details on the DOJ's lawsuit is Wall Street Journal legal affairs reporter Brent Kendall. Hi, Brent. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So, Brent, Google does a lot of things, but it's known foremost as a search engine, and that's where officials have put the focus of this antitrust lawsuit. Here's Associate Deputy Attorney General Ryan Shores, who's overseeing the DOJ's tech reviews.
Google unlawfully maintains these monopolies through a web of exclusionary and interlocking agreements.
that shut out competitors. For example, Google collectively pays mobile phone manufacturers, carriers, and web browsers billions of dollars each year from its monopoly search advertising revenues to be the preset default search engine. This is by far the most effective way for a search engine to gain users, as most people simply use this default.
Brent, can you break this down for us?
What he's basically saying here is, look, in this country, there's nothing wrong with having a monopoly. If you do things better than everybody else, your products are better, and people flock to you, that is all well and good. But once you're there and you have a powerful position, what you can't do is then take any competitive steps to prevent anybody else from potentially challenging you. And so that's what they're arguing here. And they say these billions of dollars in payments to preserve Google as default search on you know, a variety of devices and platforms effectively shuts the door to anybody else ever getting into this space and providing any sort of competition to Google. And so that's the basis of what they're arguing here. That Google, it's not illegal to have a monopoly, but what they're doing is taking illegal steps to maintain it.
The DOJ also says that Google is controlling which browsers show up on the devices that it makes, like Android phones, for example. Why is that a problem?
Well, so what they argue is that, you know, the Android, Google's Android platform, which is used by an array of carriers, you know, that you have all these phones and that, you know, for Android phones through all these agreements, you know, the Google search application is right there on your mobile desktop. It can't be removed. That Google reaches revenue sharing agreements with the phone manufacturers and carriers like AT&T to not preload anybody else's competing apps. And so, you know, the department says, again, that this forecloses competition. And when you combine these policies on Android with this deal that Google has with Apple, where they pay to be the default search on the Safari browser on iPhones, that, you know, given that pretty much everybody in the U.S. is either using an iPhone or an Android phone, that Google's basically the default search across the board, no matter what you're using, and that gives nobody any room to compete.
So we got a pretty quick overview from DOJ officials today. Brent, you've been reviewing the documents. Is there anything in there that was surprising to you?
I guess I would say no. At this point, it's, you know, this case, people have been waiting on it. And so it's not as much a surprise. It's just sort of, okay, it's finally here and where this train is going to start moving on what could be the biggest case in 20 years. I mean, the real big open question at this point is what exactly it is the DOJ wants. And so they kind of hinted at that a little bit today, but they're not quite ready to say. So they say in the complaint that, you know, at a minimum, they would like to undo some of these contractual agreements, but they also suggested that they may seek what's called structural relief, which basically means changes to Google's, you know, the structure of Google's business. And so, you know, in normal people terms, I mean, that could be like a breakup or a partial breakup or cleaving off parts of Google's business and having them run separately. And so we won't quite know for a while, you know, what the government wants, and also, you know, what its eventual evidence that it will present in court will end up supporting.
So you mentioned the time frame of about 20 years ago. Give us a sense of how significant this is. The last comparable antitrust case was against Microsoft about around that time frame 20 years ago, right?
That's right. And there haven't really been any cases of note since. I mean, the government spends a lot of its time on antitrust enforcement, evaluating proposed mergers to see, you know, if company A and company B that both make the same widget, if they combine, is that going to be bad for the public? What they haven't spent much time doing is looking at what's called sort of single firm conduct, which is like what we have here, looking at one powerful company and their business practices to determine if they are behaving in a way that you know, undermines a competitive marketplace. And so we really haven't seen a case like this for a while, and people who have been advocating for stronger enforcement have said it's sort of past time for one of these, particularly in light of a world we live in now where we have these handful of big tech companies that have lots of power and are so involved in so many aspects of our lives. And so what you see today is the government finally sort of taking a shot here.
How has Google responded to the DOJ's claims?
Google says the Justice Department's lawsuit misunderstands the marketplace, is based on faulty assumptions, and never really alleges that there's any kind of real harm to consumers here. The company basically says that, you know, the lawsuit could lead to higher phone prices because this model it has now through revenue sharing and what's generated over its, you know, the ads it sells, you know, helps finance the whole Android phone ecosystem is set up. It also says that a loss for it in this case could make it harder for consumers to get quality info, and that the case would have the effect of just propping up other companies that have poorer quality services. What Google says here is that these arrangements that it has is really no different than Coca-Cola or a cereal brand paying a supermarket chain for specific placement in the store, and that there are benefits for everybody for these kinds of arrangements. Google also says, and this is one place where it has kind of a disagreement with the government, is Google says consumers are savvy people, and that in a world where everybody's downloading apps, consumers know they have choices. And if they don't want to use Google, it's easy enough for them to go download an app and use somebody else. The government, by contrast, says, look, most consumers are just going to go with the default option. And if Google's the default option, a lot of people are just never going to change, and that gives the company an unfair advantage.
Brent, you mentioned this suit is going to take a while. What comes next here?
Well, there will be a whole lot of preliminary proceedings. We have to get a judge assigned. You know, there'll be initial scheduling. There will be protective orders, that will guard confidentiality of documents and testimony that was provided during the investigation. Google will probably try to get the case dismissed, and there will be briefing over that. There will certainly be a discovery process where each side is building upon its evidence and its case. I mean, I think it'll be a while before we get anywhere near having a trial on this.
The DOJ has been investigating some of the big tech companies for over a year, and Deputy Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen made it clear that this antitrust case against Google is not the end of the road.
I'll also observe that today the department's review of competitive conditions as to online digital platforms has reached a milestone, but not a stopping point. We plan to continue our review of competitive practices by market-leading online platforms, and where necessary, address those as well.
Brent, what else are we waiting for to drop here?
Well, we'll see. As we reported, the Justice Department is also investigating Apple, and so that is moving along. The Federal Trade Commission, which shares antitrust authority with the Justice Department, is investigating Facebook and is also looking into Amazon. The Facebook case over at the FTC appears one that is really getting the most attention there, and we've reported in recent weeks that the commission is preparing a lawsuit that they could potentially vote on to file if they decide that's how they want to go by the end of the year.
That's Wall Street Journal legal affairs reporter Brent Kendall. Brent, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, in California, gig economy companies have been fighting back against a recent law that reclassified rideshare and food delivery workers as employees, making them eligible for benefits like minimum wage, sick days, and health insurance. Uber is one of the companies that's lobbied for an exemption with a ballot measure called Proposition 22. Voters will get to weigh in on Election Day. In a conversation with our chief news editor Jason Anders at the Wall Street Journal Tech Live conference today, Uber CEO Dara Khosrowshahi said the results could have major implications for Uber's operations and customers.
So we're hopeful as far as Prop 22 goes. If Prop 22 does not win, we will do our best to adjust. We're in a competitive marketplace, so I don't want to talk too much about what that will look like. But our expectation is that prices are going to go up significantly in cities in which there will be an operation, and many, many cities that would have access to Uber or competitive services will no longer have access to.
Are you considering a scenario where you simply don't operate in California?
We're looking at all scenarios. And again, it's a competitive marketplace, so I don't want to talk too much. We will make the adjustments, and we have been absolute in saying that we are going to comply by the law.
You can hear more of their conversation and other news from our Tech Live conference at WSJ.com and on our Tech News Briefing podcast all this week. And that's what's news for this Tuesday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.